Blog Talk Radio.
I got this feeling, and I just can't turn it loose, that somebody's been getting next to you. Don't want to walk around knowing I was your fool, 'cause being the man that I am, I just can't lose my cool. My friends keep telling me about the things that's going on, but deep in my heart, baby, I hope that I'm wrong. Yes, I hope. I know it, babe. When I walk through the door, but you know one damn thing, baby, I ain't coming back no more. No, no, no. Now don't try to tell me things are still the same.
Take me away.
I smoke you out. easy to navigate.
And grinding, baby, romancing. I'm all in. I screw. Good evening. Good evening, one and all. Welcome. Welcome to another installment of War Council. Bare bones, but we're going to do it. More importantly, you know, moving some things around. So we're doing a mixed bag today. We're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time. We're going to ask some questions, talk about some things. We're going to play some clips. We're going to discuss, have some good stuff. And more importantly, if you want to participate in the discussion, you just call in and we just talk to you. Of course, that number is 319-527-6300. Press 1 to be heard here on 50 Radio Universe, the Starship of For Real Entertainment Network. Brought to you by Raw Links. Why be average? Means you can be raw. Now, playing the honey. I hit the wrong honey, but that's okay. We're going to bring our peoples in real quick, fast and hurry. We're going to bring in the Pearl of Negra, my favorite Philly John, best friend. Yes, all the time. Yeah.
Hey, hey, what's good? What's good?
What's going on? What's going on? What's happening? What's happening? What is happening?
It's all good.
You know. And then, of course, we've got the coochitizer, because I was just saying it, but there's no way we say it, but of course, the VA transplant, the Maryland transplant, now by way of Alabama, you've been serviced, Miss Lisa Lips. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, baby. What's going on?
What's going on? What's happening? What's happening? Now, we're
up,
waiting for the eloquent one.
Hey, Diva.
We ain't heard from people in a long time in a mean minute, but it's okay. We're glad to see everybody here. Now, if you'd like to participate in the discussion, please feel free to raise your hands. Okay, I see another person here. Hold on. Of course, I'm going to hit your thing. Zwina, what's good?
Hey, everybody.
Hey, lady.
You know, How's it going?
Look like we're going to have to transfer some energy over there to you.
I'm sending all that energy over there to you.
Thank you, love. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, so that's what I'm like trying to figure out. Okay, that's what he's doing. Okay, I just got the thing from Wendell. So he'll be joining us shortly. Okay, ladies, hold on. Let me throw on the traditional honey instrumental, of course. Got to have that in the background while we're talking. So it's been a long time since we had an installment of War Council. You know, we've all been very busy. Things happen, you know, triumphs, tragedies. All kinds of different things, terrific and terrible all at the same time, but we're here. And I'm very happy to hear all of your voices because it makes me very happy. So how's everybody feeling? General, hey, how you doing? What's happening?
We're good.
Yes, I'm feeling much better. Much, much better. And that music, Lord, it done put me in a different spot, but I know this is War Council, so I'm going to behave tonight.
Well, listen. I purposely did not do the thing because I think the wave of absolute the call of the wild is loose. The call of the wild.
Yeah. Somebody definitely opened up my thing and left it. He'll try.
And that's why if you know like and everybody's like, yo, I went to roll there, he's like, yeah, like, as soon as you did vote, Mojave showed up. And then you know, next thing you know, I was like, I'm so waiting for this shit. I was like, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I was like, I just came in here and this is what happened, you know.
Hello.
I was like, but then again, is it really bad to have that reputation that you associate with all things horny? Is that really a bad reputation?
Well, we're supposed to be talking about carnal wisdom, so I think it suits. I think it fits.
Right.
You know? So hence the word carnal. You know?
Hey.
Well,
you call you Pied Piper or Poonanny?
Wait a minute.
That's your fault.
I wasn't ready. I was not prepared. I was not ready.
I'm thinking all kinds of lines to put in my book. I'm trying to tell you, Lord.
I just had to take a drink on that one. Wow. That's wild. I wasn't ready for that one.
It's not your fault.
It's not. But somehow I just keep being blamed. And every time I turn around, I'd be like, I'm blaming you for this shit. I'm like, I didn't even do anything. But okay. Speaking of which, you know, there's a few things we're gonna run around and throw up in the joint because it's gonna do while we wait for Wendell, right? So I'm gonna start out with this. I'm gonna start out with this incredible thing. And I'm gonna call it, you know, because it's on here. And I think I didn't stick it in War Council because I was going to do it, but I forgot to actually get around to it. But first thing we're gonna talk about, I'll re-up on this music real quick. There's this test, right? Now we all know that people give tests and everything else. Like we read body language. We look at different things. We try to figure out how people look when they look, the type of energy they give off in a photo and a picture. You could pretty much read it if you're empathic and stuff like that. But there's this thing that fascinated me, absolutely fascinated me. And I feel bad because I really don't want Wendell to miss out on it, but I don't know how long his phone call is going to go, so we just going to have to apprise him when he comes back. All right. So there's this thing called the box. Right. Have you ladies heard of the rock test?
Nope.
No.
What is it?
You haven't? All right.
Are
so,
you referring to the nether region when you say box?
I am referring to the nether region when I say box. I am. I am referring to the box test, but not in the way that you think that I'm referring to. I am referring to it. Now, right, so the box test, right, and this, uh-huh. this TikToker who moved over to YouTube, right, he said, he literally did this thing called the box test, and he said, fellas, I challenge you to go to your pictures and take, look at the pictures and look at how a woman stands with a man, right, and it will tell you how they feel about that man by the direction by which their box sits.
Oh, okay.
I had to let that go. I'm going to let that go. Now, I'm going to let y'all sit on that for a minute. Sit on it. You know. I should play the song.
I want to see it on it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, hold on, hold on. You know, we goofy over here, so, you know, we don't care. Hold on for a second. Hold on for one second. Y'all keep forgetting how deep this playlist I got is. It's super deep over here.
I need to go up in there when I'm on my show, because that, Lord.
You know I'd be playing, I don't be playing with playlists. I'm just saying, because you got to do that. That's important. Okay, wait a second. Here we go.
Oh, yes. Are you ready?
Wait. Right there. Okay, I'm going to have to cut that down because, you know, I'm getting a little excited. But anyway, I'm just saying, but that first part, you know, that makes you get the ugly face like you really about to get sat on. There's no greater excitement than getting sat on. I just wanted to let you know from the start. I don't know about any other man. I'm speaking for myself. I get excited. You want to sit on me, wherever, pick your place. Wherever you want to sit, you can sit. Hey, not there, this is Saturday.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
Oh, I got point to say that. Anyway, I just want to talk about it for a while. And so everybody's been wild out. I should feel free. And then I told Ricky, I said, Ricky, I said, listen, drunk and debauchery. He said, say less. Okay, prepping everybody for everything. Anyway, so back to the box test.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look in the photos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so inadvertently, it's one of those things because you don't practice for it; it just happens. And it says, "Fellas," it says,
mm-hmm.
"look," and he went through examples, and he's like, "Listen," he said, "every time Will Smith takes a picture with Jada Pinkett, her box is facing the world and not him." And he showed photos.
Wow.
I said, oh, it.
Mm.
I said, oh, it. Right?
Mm.
And he said, when a box faces away, it tells you their stance and what they do and how everything else, and it kind of leads up into that. So I'm sitting here like, this is some fascinating shit. Right?
Because
I was like, so I looked at pictures I've taken, pictures with certain people, and I was like, yo, these boxes face me. That's good shit. I looked at the picture of my ex-wife, and all her pictures face outward. All of them.
Wow.
All of them. I said, oh, shit. There might be some merit to it. There might be some merit. Now, I'm going to challenge people right now, be online, right? I want, like, if you can, right? Lisa, you can't do it because every time I see you with Scotty Zuhadi, a.k.a. Big Drip, every time we see you with Big Drip, y'all be on the...
Thank you.
ain't gonna say nothing, but you know, I came in the room one time. I was like, y'all just got doing something.
I'm
not sticking around. I know, because like, I know Lisa's like he came in here real quick and left. I sure did. Got to have a conversation. I'm like, I ain't trying to have a conversation right now, bro. Wait for a minute, then I come back. You know, I should have asked him if he was gonna wipe his face. Now, if you heard Lisa laughing at that, you should know. All right. Anyway,
it was more like the other way around, but anyway.
Wow. Anyway, all right. I ain't got no sense. So here's the challenge. I want you to go to your most recent persons, personas, characters, he, she, though, they, whatever you call yourselves, whatever pronoun you particularly like to use, go look at that picture of the person that you were enamored with, or, you know, past or present, right? Go look at the picture, right? And ladies, tell me which direction your coochie is facing.
Oh, I already know. I ain't got to go in this picture. I'm facing him. Because he was,
Yeah,
it was.
Hey,
you got me scrolling through my Google Photos right now. I need to see what's going on.
Now, also, the other thing is that if the person, if you took the picture with the person and they're behind you or you're behind them, that automatically means that you're supporting them because you're on them. So if they're behind you, you know, mm-hmm. they're behind you or they're behind you and you're particularly close, that's a supportive role, which means the coochie is the box is supportive. Mm-hmm. It's a supportive box. Box support.
I like box support. I like that. I'm going to have to write that in something.
I've always been supported because a lot of the pictures that I've taken with my exes, they were standing behind me with their arms around my waist. And, yes, they were smiling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am still scrolling back. Like
y'all sitting there looking through these, like looking at these pictures, like, yo, box was not face. I know somebody's gonna go back to and be like, "Come on, take my box." Was I on coochie support or was I facing the world? Was my coochie for everybody?
Oh goodness!
So if your box is turned to the street, you got friendly. You got a friendly, friendly box. All right, got it. Call her for team because she for the team, huh? Is that what we're saying? Okay.
What happened?
The song is checked out.
We call the turnstile cooter.
Oh, gosh. That's too much. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Wow.
I mean,
now you.
I mean, it's.
There is a science to body stuff. Language that, you know.
I mean, it tells you a lot, but I mean, like for real, like because when I looked, I was like looking at my ex. I was like, damn. I said, every goddamn picture, her coochie is facing out. Never done with me. This is a problem. This is a complete issue.
Yeah.
I'm like looking at, yo, it's crazy. I'm looking at my son's graduation. I was back to the day.
Oh, man.
I was like, even when he graduated from eighth grade, look at you, was facing out. The box was facing out. I was like,
wow.
Ooh, this is bad. This is terrible.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's even worse. I see the wedding photo. I gotta stop laughing because it's bad. I'm happy of being bad. I was looking at her wedding photo, and I was like, the box is still facing out.
Oh my god.
Like,
Mojave gonna take pictures with everybody he date from now on, and then see which way she faces.
That's a suggestion.
I ain't gonna say nothing. I'm gonna just be standing there and be like, "Yeah, let's take this picture." Be like, let's take this picture. Oh, and get the picture back. And be like, "Yo, let me see that picture." Oh, the box is facing out. You cut. You're going. You're out of here.
Oh,
you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out. I'm leaving.
Wow.
I got to go. But why? Because your box is for the streets.
Jeez.
Oh, damn.
Be making stupid excuses. Excuse me, I got to leave now. I got to go walk my fish.
Like, you know, and it probably, I probably need to take, like, yo, where Lisa go? She went to go walk her fish. Say that again. Slower.
No.
Now,
oh my God.
Repeat what you just said. Repeat what you just said. Are you high? have you been missing something? No. Anyway. Man, yeah, that's crazy. But that's the funny thing. Hey, but anyway, that's crazy. But seriously, how many pictures did you scroll through? I know everybody's in there just scrolling through their joints. You know, I know you was like, okay. You was like, look at this. These photos.
Right.
Where did my box go?
Right.
Where's my box?
I don't have a whole lot of pictures with other people, but the one picture I do have with my box facing somebody and somebody facing me is the picture that me and LaPerla LaNegra took in Philly.
You know what?
Hey, listen. Ain't no box on box.
Oh my god.
I got problems. I got problems.
Really do.
Oh, I got
problems. No. somebody just made a back channel. They said, I'm still scrolling. I'm dead.
You know how people going through it. They
like, heads will roll. Okay.
Just hitting the roller. Just rolling the wheel like Wheel of Fortune, you know.
Like the big Price is Right wheel and just watch it go up. One big roll from the bottom.
Oh,
man. Yo,
man.
Oh, man. Hilarious.
It's too funny. All right,
so it's nuts, but I wanted to start out with that. Before we got into the other stuff. Hey, where's my music? All right. Because we had mad conversations in the thing. Oh, you would die on me. Oh, you suck. Sorry. I had my other phone set up for what you call it. Let me see if I can do it through. Let me see if I can do it through my broadcast phone. Matter of fact, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm just gonna put some charge on this phone. You gotta play that. Pick up your feeling.
New phone. Who is this?
You know. Matter of fact, that leads me to the sidebar with this particular song, you know, because probably, alright, so I know we as men, you know, we are not always given over to our emotions and being able to say exactly what we want to say. Some of us who are not transparent or emotionally involved, you know, we do all kinds of ass backward shit because we don't express ourselves. But my thing is this. When you, ladies, when y'all get to this point where you want a motherfucker to pick up their feelings, what brought you to that point for you to get to this whole thing where you ready to burn shit down, you know, and you just ready to go, you ready to get these mofos up on up, out of here, you tired, all that shit. What is it?
Wow.
For me, I've done everything I know to get you on track at that point. I've tried to talk to you. I've tried to point out what I'm dealing with. You keep blowing me off, not answering, trying to find a way around doing anything I'm asking. At that point, when I get to the point where I stop asking questions or I stop trying, it's time for you to pick up your feelings and get moving. It ain't nothing you can say at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Me being the type of woman that I am such a giver. And I'm very, very attentive. And dealing with certain personality types, I've had enough of the snapping at me for something that took place outside of the relationship, or you had a bad day and then you don't want to talk to me about it. You just want to go off on me like I'm some kind of random chick you met on the street, and you don't want to hear you don't want to validate my feelings, my emotions, and how you treated me. I've just had enough of it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So pick up your feelings, get your ass, and get the foot stepping.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's true. I feel like
I
you
have
just get to a point where you just,
Go ahead, Dwina.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say you just get to a point where you just get tired of, you run out of things to hold on to.
You know,
we make a bunch of excuses and we'll find 100 reasons to forgive. But when we run out of, you know, you ever find yourself, I don't know if anybody else would get to that point where you like, at least he. And then when that at least he gets broken, you like, you know what, come on, come get all your stuff and your feelings, I'm done. When you run out of reasons, and people will push you to that point because you've forgiven so much up until that point that they don't think that it's going to be a breaking point. But that's typically where it is when you're just out of things to hold on to keep forgiving the person for.
When I get to a point in a relationship where whatever you say, I'm like, all right, babe, go ahead, okay. When I agree with whatever you say, the exit strategy is already in place.
Exactly.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything is already worked out in our head. All we got to do is say the word, bye. That's it. I've had enough. But even if we haven't tried to talk about it, try to discuss it with you, try to show you that we're uncomfortable, we're unhappy, some changes need to be made, we got to compromise. I said, all this shit exhausted every damn thing. It's time to go.
Right. Exactly.
That's it. I'm done.
It's like, what are you fighting
anymore
for?
Man, listen, that's the nutty stuff. I think I figured it out.
Oh, that's my song.
That's my jam. No, we playing the tunes. That's what we doing. You know.
Yeah, I see what you're doing, man.
Let all the tunes fall me. You know. I just realized, like, and, you know, when you just realize, like, if you don't just do it and just play the stuff or say what you're going to say, it just remains unsaid. You got to pull all the possibilities from all the places and make those possibilities stick. So when it feels good, go with it. That means it's a moment that's meant to be. Anyway, going back to what y'all was saying. Because y'all said once it gets to the point that they, you know, and they, you know, can't get it back, they can't figure it out. All right. Have you ever found yourselves in a situation where that person absolutely knows shit is beyond? It's gone. They know it's gone. They know it's out to the pasture. It's not coming back in. You're going to need an elephant gun. Have you ever seen a person not be accountable for the shit that they brought on your life, and then act like they play victim, like you did something to them? Have you seen that?
Oh my gosh!
Get started. Where do I start? With whom can I start talking about? Please, I done dealt with some bipolar motherfuckers, okay, that just don't get it. And have definitely tried to make me look like the enemy. I'm the one that did the bad stuff. And please, even my husband, he was like, he's talking about he's a battered man. Because I refused to put up with the shit anymore. I'm like, you battered? What? I can't believe he got him before. Yo. The mental game, the verbal manipulation is very real, and you're patient, and I have the patience of Job, but even that has a capacity. Okay, so
and the gaslighting. Don't forget that part.
The gaslighting is so necessary. Oh my God, are you kidding me, man? I've been making me start fussing up a storm up in here.
Indeed, that's crazy.
Go ahead.
Wait.
I won't cut you off. Go ahead. I said go ahead.
No, I was just saying that is the case. But a lot of times I'm starting to realize in the interest of accountability, it's like at some point you gave people the idea that they could play with you like that. I realize that with a certain somebody, it's like everyone else walked away from that person. But I stood there and I kept allowing that person to treat me that way instead of walking away, you know. And in doing so, and also not ever saying much of anything about it, I gave them the idea that it was okay to treat me that way. You know what I mean? I had no boundaries. And because there were no boundaries, they, you know, they thought it was okay to go in and out as they please and do what they thought was the right thing to do. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because takers have no limits. That's why.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But those kinds of guys count on the fact that we are the caregiver type people. They count on us letting them slip and slide because we hoping that they will be the person they showed us in the beginning.
Because
they always come in shiny, bright, and new. They always come in giving you everything. And then once you get used to that is when they start pulling things away.
Yeah, well, that's true too. Yeah, and then once a woman is invested, it takes a while for that investment to be devalued enough for her to just walk away from it. We'll wait till the bottom is gone and the wheels fall off.
Yep.
You know. So by the time it gets to that point, it's definitely the case because you always have hope. And if you really love a person, you always try to see the good in them. So it's like hate the sinner, I hate the sin, but not the sinner, and can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But it's like just convincing yourself to accept the poison and just keep drinking it. Some people are just toxic, and you need to get away from them. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I know better than anybody, it's easier said than done, but
yeah,
we do. Oh man, when you're in a relationship like that, man, you do. You make all kinds of excuses because you want to keep up with appearance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you finally put your foot down, it's a wrap. Then they done lost their rabbit ass mind. Oh, where are you?
Exactly. That's when the sister gets to the point that she's on her, you know, back to the previous question, where she's like, pick up your feelings. It's getting all the way to that point. It's, I heard something before. I'm not sure where I heard it, but they were saying how, like, you know, most times women are breaking down the relationship long before they leave, before they get to the point where they're ready to leave. So you are grieving and going through the process. By the time you get to that exit point, you have made peace with the fact that you have to go. When men get to wait till they get to that point and then want to build back everything that they allowed to deteriorate in that relationship, but by that point, it's gone. So you're working at opposite ends, going in different directions and ending up at the same place, and that's nowhere.
Yeah, but I think that part of it too is we as women, when we start seeing things fall apart, we want to try to keep fixing it, and we keep trying to find the way around to fix it, where guys think, well, she ain't gone nowhere. She fussed, but she's still here.
Right.
So it's still cool. Mm-hmm. So they don't think about all of that. When it hits them is when we walk out the door. Then they go, ooh, I didn't know it was that bad.
Right, but by that point, she's already made peace with it, so it's not even, we're not even having the same conversation or speaking the same language. You're trying to repair, and I have already put it to rest, so are you trying, you're trying to resurrect when it comes to me, but you think it's only a matter of repairing, and it's not the same thing. You can't come to it with the same energy.
Exactly.
Yeah, we leave mentally long before we even give him that last word of get your ass, get your shit, and get the fuck stepping. But we have tried. And it isn't as if they don't see us trying to make amends, trying to heal it, trying to compromise. They see it. They hear it. But because we continue to allow them to come back and forth with that bullshit, they think it's okay to keep doing that.
When we're doing that, trying to fix it and doing the trying to get you to talk to us and trying to and arguing and bickering, they see it as nagging and they just cut themselves off from it.
Right.
They think it's you know, it's just us, but you don't need to worry. When we are talking, when we are in your ear, when we stop talking, that's when you need to worry. We stop making the noise. Because we done left the building, honey. I'm trying to tell you, it's gone. We done flew out.
When I stop arguing and I agree with what you say, I don't care what you say, I'm done. I've been done.
Right.
And you stick a fork in me, I'm trying to tell you. Yes. It's a wrap.
That is the truth. That is absolutely true.
I mean, listen. That's what happens. But you know what? A lot of times, sometimes men, we could be unsuspecting because a lot of times if things are not communicated properly, like if there's no proper communication, sometimes men are not mind readers. We don't know what's going on. And in my experience, not to say that any other ladies who are here, like with my ex used to just do explosively violent things or just do some like it'd be so fucking unreasonable and it'd be the smallest thing that I didn't do like anything else. I remember one time me and my fraternity brother were interviewing somebody, like we were running the bar at my lodge, right, and we were interviewing one of the bartenders, right? So I was like okay, well, everybody come, I get home at this time, cut a mile, right? And so literally we're downstairs in my house, right, and Mm-hmm. I'm not even sitting on the same couch. I'm sitting across from her, right? And she comes downstairs, and she's like, oh, hey, you know, like, normal, right? And so soon as we finish doing our interview and stuff like that, writing all the stuff down and everything else, and she leaves, you know, I dab up my frat brother. He goes about his business. She just started breaking shit, like, just literally, like, breaking things, like in the kitchen, breaking anything glass.
Wow.
And I'm sitting here like, I'm like, so, you know, I'm sitting here like, because you, the first time you hear it, it's like, oh, you dropped something, you know, like, oh, like, you must have dropped something. But when I heard, like, we got to the second or third one, and then when I came in the kitchen, she looked me dead in my face and literally smashed his vase on the ground, right? So it was a bunch of broken shit on the ground. And she said, you had this bitch in my house. And I was like, I'm doing an interview. I was like, I'm doing an interview. I said, Gene was here, blah, blah, blah. You had that bitch in my house, blah, 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 blah. And she was just going off. And there was no talking to her. I couldn't reason with her. And then I was like, well, let me just get on out of Dodge. So I was getting ready to leave. And she said, if you leave this fucking house, I swear. So I was like, at the time, I didn't know, like, hey, I want you to sit here and enjoy all this abuse I have to give you. Please, sit here and be abused. By my verbal terms, let me scream and yell and break shit up, right? And the funny thing is, like, I didn't really catch on because that wasn't the first time she did it, like, and I didn't understand what it was. But she could communicate the fact that she felt as if a woman coming past her threshold without her prior knowledge means that I would do it all the time. And it came from the point because I had to go to therapy with her. In therapy with her, right? Okay. And the therapy was for me, but she kept taking over my sessions. That's a whole other story, right? So the thing was is that she lives with a person who will routinely parade women into the house, you know, when she was younger. And so it was a trigger for her, but she didn't communicate that to me. So I didn't have an idea. I just thought it was crazy, you know? And I was just like, okay, this is this is some of the nuttiest things I had ever seen, like, you know, and, you know, combine that with the fact of her being bipolar and all kinds of other stuff and trauma and being abused and everything else like that, you know, it was very hard to understand why. So when she was fed up, she'd get fed up, she'd go out of there. You know, I remember one of the things, I had an argument with my daughter, like, this was like maybe 5-6 years ago, like, my daughter's like, you know, yelling at me, and she's making this argument that sounds just like her mother, you know, and I'm like, none of these experiences are yours. These are not your experiences. But because she was so close to her mother in an unhealthy manner, that she was like, you know what it feels like to know that your mother trying to stab your father? And I said, listen to yourself speak.
Wow.
And I remember the day that she was going to do it, because I was like, listen, she's a motherfucker, I'm going to stab you, right? And it's all with this communication, this whole thing, her being fed up and everything else. So she used to put me out all the time. Get out. You got to get out. You got to go. You got to do this. You got to do that. Get out, you know, because that was her thing. It was like, all right, I'm going to put you out. Talk shit about you, do everything else, and then when I get to the point where I feel bad about it, I'm going to bring you back in, and whatever I got to do, you know. It was very narcissistic. They didn't know what it was at the time. Had no idea. Didn't know what it looked like, right?
Wow.
All I know is that when she would do these things, I was literally trying to figure out how a person could just turn on a dime and just be that bad for no reason. And the weird thing was, if I treated her bad or acted like she didn't matter to me and I went about my business, that's when she would get on her best behavior and try to loop me back in.
Wow.
You know. Hold on. Oh, the good brother's here. The good brother. Good brother, you're here. You made it.
I am here. I'm here.
Yes, the eloquent one, Wendell.
Fresh off his cooking reels, I say, man. What's happening, Brody?
It's all good, brother.
In here cooking. I was like, look at him. I said, he advertising out here, showing he can cook real good. Like, that's what he was doing. Making big meals. I said, oh, he out here making big meals. I said, he cooking for the family. I said, nah. He got the nerve to be tall, handsome, intelligent, and be making some food, you know. And one of the best damn cosplayers I've ever seen. You know.
Wow.
You know, even though he's Sith, I'm Jedi, so you know, 4-7 user, you know.
Hey,
that's
you know, everybody has their flaws, brother. You know, one of these days you're going to embrace the dark side.
I ain't worried about it. All right, so mm-hmm. I'll get your opinion on this real quick, and then we're gonna get back to what we're talking about. So Brother Wendell, have you heard of the box test?
The box test. I have not heard of the box test, brother.
All right, so the box test, right? So I ran across this TikToker who's now on like YouTube, and he basically said that if you study a woman in a picture with their significant other or person they're dating or their husband, and the direction in which their box is facing tells you everything about their relationship. So if they like the person, the box is always facing in. You know, if they don't like it, the box is facing out. And so he used examples of this, and then he went through a whole bunch of Will Smith and Jada Pinkett pictures, and her box is always facing out.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing that changes is that if the box is behind you, then it's a supportive role because it's like support. But, you know, what's your opinion on that?
So basically, he's reading body language as a predictive measure of, you know, of relationship, you know, interest and everything. So, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely there's a science towards reading body language. I hadn't necessarily heard of it in that degree of specificity, but I definitely believe that to be accurate. So yeah, the way that a person positions themselves towards you, I believe is indicative of the type of position that they want to take with you. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it makes sense to me. I can definitely understand the logic.
So I challenge the ladies to look through their pictures to see where their box is facing. So I'm going to challenge you. You know, look through some of your old pictures. Just see where it is. And I admit it. I said in all the pictures with my ex-wife, literally, her box is facing outward. But what made me laugh even more is because she her new husband, I looked through my daughter's pictures, she's not facing him either. I was like, damn, everybody.
Some people just have a predisposition towards closed off body positioning.
Pretty much. Hold on. Let me see. I'm gonna see if I can get this other thing queued up. Hold on. All right. So. I'm gonna go with this other thing from what you call it. Oh, okay. It really just shut down and just act like anything. Hold on. It really just kicked me out. Hold on for a second. I'm gonna try this one again.
Ladies, you know I love you. That's right.
All right. So I'm gonna play like 3 or 4 clips, you know, and probably our time will be up after we finish discussing all these clips. But this first clip I'm gonna play is from Evan Williams, but I think he got it from, I forgot the sister he got it from because I heard the original thing. I don't know if I put the original in here, but this is his sketch on it. So let me cut the music. All right, so let me know if y'all can hear this clip. All right, hold on. Bring this back.
Ladies, you know I love you to death, but y'all gotta stop with this goofy-ass cap of what he won't do, the next man will. As a 38-year-old eligible bachelorette, I can tell you right now, the next...
Can y'all hear that?
Yeah,
we can hear it.
You know I love you to death, but y'all gotta stop with this goofy-ass cap.
One more again.
All right. Ladies, you know I love you to death, but y'all gotta stop with this goofy-ass cap of what he won't do, the next man will. As a 38-year-old eligible bachelorette, I can tell you right now, the next man probably won't. You're getting worse from him. But something that I really want to discuss with y'all, and this is going to catch me slow, but you can't cancel reality. The playing field is not level. There are more good single women than there are good single men. And the reality is, what you won't do, the next bitch actually will. There are good women with good pussy and good credit and good manners, thirsty as fuck to come scoop up a man who will go 50% on the bills and come home at night to play his little fucking game. You feel me? You're so worried about aesthetics and keeping up with the Joneses and what so-and-so did on fucking Instagram. You feel like your man ain't putting on for you. Let me tell you something. A good man is a man who comes home every night. It's a man who listens and communicates to you. It's a man who doesn't cheat. It's a man who pays bills and shows up for the children and fixes things where he can. That's a damn good fucking man. Ladies, you know I love you. That's what y'all got to.
Did y'all hear that whole thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
I heard it.
Yep.
Yeah. So she's right. Pinpointing, she's emphasizing on a visual aesthetic, keeping up with the Joneses. And I understand what she's saying. I know women that have lost their men because they didn't appreciate him being a good man, as she described. He came home every day. He paid the bills. Took care of the house. He paid attention to her, but she wanted so badly to look a certain way when they left the house, you know, or when they took pictures or when they were on social media, that she just disregarded all the blessings that was bestowed upon her with that man. And yeah, somebody else came by and swooped his ass up. And now she is miserable to this day because of that. And another thing is, most women like that have a lot of other people involved in their relationship. What you see him doing, who's around him, this and this and that, and it's unnecessary. It is absolutely unnecessary. So I agree with her with that thing. It's vanity. Vanity destroys men. Not knowing who you are and just loving what you have. So I agree with the sis.
Anybody else would like to take a stab at it?
I kind of go along with what La Perla Negra just said, because we look at what other people have or how other people have it and try to expect the same thing from the man that we have and miss what things he really is doing because we're trying to get him to do stuff that ain't his nature. And you end up messing up a good thing.
Yep. My husband used to do me like that. Oh, such and such, they got a certain centerpiece, and such and such got this and such and such that. I don't give a fuck. Such and such fucking you and fixing your meals, tending to your children. Seriously, my husband was very, very, he was treated very extremely well, but he was he was the epitome of narcissism. And he made me feel ugly, unwanted, and not good enough with anything that I did. And to compensate for that, I tried to be the perfect wife and the perfect mother. And it still wasn't good enough for him because he constantly made comparisons. Now, this is behind closed doors, but when he went outside, he had bragging rights. Oh, my wife do this and my wife do that. But then he turned around like, that nigga trying to talk to you? Is he trying to talk? Is this and this and that? What you saying? Is it all of that? he was the demise of the whole relationship. I know the part that I played by trying, instead of, no, actually, I tried to talk to him about it, and it still, it fell on deaf ears, so, I mean, it works both ways. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm past it now. It's over. But it was an experience I don't want to choose again, and I won't.
Anybody else want to take a stab at it? Hold on. Oh, hold on.
Hey.
Area code 408.
What's up?
Who's this?
I want to say something. This is Way Busy.
Wait, who is this?
Way Busy in California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just a screen name, you know. It's my stage name. It's Way Busy. So anyway, it sounds like you have to put yourself in a position to where you know who you are so that you can compliment the person. Now, if you're a woman, then you need to be confident in who you are as a woman. And when you see the man, you know, when you see the man, then he's going to be the prize. He'll be the prize, and you'll be able to just walk right in and get underneath that and be the woman that you were meant to be for this man. Because this man has to feel special. He can't be in the chair in the office getting counseling because he put the woman as the prize, when that's not the way it works. It's the man that's the prize. That's why it's no surprise that love can be said with just a woman's eyes. You know what I mean? And you know, out of all the women in this world, you'll know if the one is looking at you, because she's going to want to get to know who you are and what you all about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, listen, it's a point. I mean, personally, I think people have to have a mutual prize ideology towards each other. Because honestly, I think people do better. I think people do better with connection than they just do. You know, they do better with connection and chemistry better than they do with just, okay, you got this, you got that, that's going to work out. And I think a lot of people make themselves miserable instead of focusing on what they think that they can obtain instead of having the gratitude for the things that they have now. You know, so if you have nothing, and you're happy, you know, the more stuff that you get, the more stuff that you acquire together, it just only adds to it. It doesn't change everything. The connection and the communication between the two creates and keeps the chemistry going between them. So for me, I mean, like, a lot of times I think there can be some people who make themselves miserable because they think that, yo, I got to have this, you know, like I'm not even going to front. Kevin Samuels exposed a whole lot of women with unrealistic, you know, ideologies and expectations, and the expectations that they had was disappointing them. You know, I think the expectations of what they thought that they should have based off of what was around them, instead of actually being realistic about where they actually stood with themselves. And it really was like something internal that they need to focus on, as opposed to focus on what they thought that they should have, or, you know, everybody should have that. Everybody has to work towards what it is that they want in a relationship.
But you know why they can't get down to the heart of the matter? You want to know what the real reason is? Because listen. Because people, for the most part, rely on their feelings entirely too much. And I don't want to talk about all those mistakes, you know what I'm saying? But they don't get underneath their feelings, you know what I'm saying? Because underneath their feelings is who they are. And what they love and what they don't love, it gets all tangled up in a knot, and the knot just gets bigger. So they're not ever doing they're not getting down to doing what they're supposed to be doing. So they need some help, and somebody has to go inside, and in a gentle, loving, kind, considerate, compassionate way, so that the person that they're talking to, in this sacred place that's taking place, is what I'm talking about. They don't profane it by the by the bad habits that they have. You know, they're in a position where they're actually listening now. They're not doing that stuff no more. Because why? Because they're listening now. Now here's this person, you, making the deposit of love into these people's love bank, because they opened themselves up to you and gave you a little piece of themselves, and that's all you needed, just a little bit, to make this deposit of love.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you can walk away from this person and know that the next time you see this person, they're going to want to listen to you more, so you can give them some more.
Well, you know what? Well, thank you, brother, for coming in and definitely giving your opinion. We appreciate that, all the way from California. We appreciate that. Yeah. I'm glad you came away and participated in the discussion. And, you know, stay tuned. We're about to move into our next segment, so I'm going to put you back in the queue. When you're ready, we'll bring you in. I'll ask you for a question, all right?
Okay.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, so Wendell, I'm gonna go with this next clip that you put into the chat, and I'm gonna play it, and then we're gonna discuss. All right.
All right.
And maybe
all right, that's cool.
You want to set this up? You want to set the clip up for us, or you want me to play the clip first, and then you get into it?
No, go ahead, brother. Because honestly, I don't even remember. I don't remember the clip.
It's a protect yourself king clip. It's a protect yourself king clip.
Okay.
That's the one. Wait, hold on. I think Joe just came in here. Hold on for a second. Let me just grab that. Just make sure. I think this is it. Hey, Joe, is this you?
Yes, sir. How you doing, bro?
Hey, what's happening? Yo, we can hear you.
Hey,
we can listen to you, bro. Hey, it's Joe the one out there, sir. Back in the building.
How you doing?
What's going on?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, I'm just chilling. Hey, how's everybody doing? Hey, look here. I got a situation here right now. Power just went out all over the neighborhood, so I'm on like 20%. So I'm be listening and chilling and relaxing a little bit because I'm sitting here in the dark. But hey, how's everybody feeling?
Good.
Oh,
wow. Good, man. Yeah. We're good.
Outstanding.
All right, so I'm going to play this clip. We're going to get back into it. Hold on a second. Hold on. Oh, you, man, Wendell, you got all the good clips in your joint, in your TikTok. Let's all bring up all these different ones. All right, y'all ready? We're going to go with it. All right, hold on. I'm going to do it through TikTok. So. All right. Hold on for a second. Not rewinding the way I wanted to. Hold on. All right. Y'all ready?
Okay.
Wait, I wasn't ready yet.
Yep.
Hold on. All right. You ready? All right. We're going to go.
Let's go.
Right now.
Okay. I got a question. Why you should be giving your time and your energy to anybody? No, hear me out. Because you do. You are too fucking valuable. Don't involve yourself and nothing that you don't want to be involved in. Don't deal with shit that you don't want to fucking deal with. You are too fucking valuable. I would ask what's wrong with you, but what's right with you? There's a lot of things right with you, and that's what you got to identify. Protect your energy like you protect that family. Lots of access to you. Just like you do that goddamn car. Just like you do your house. Do that shit for your soul. Your energy. People will come around you with badass, negative-ass energy. You got to understand, opposites attract. Life needs a balance. Motherfuckers are coming at you with negative energy, and you embodying that shit and wonder why you're going through shit. Don't shoot the
message. All right, I played that. So, Wendell, the clip.
Yeah. When I saw that clip, I thought it was powerful and poignant because as men, you know, we are definitely taught, trained, encouraged, conditioned to be and do for others, and to be in position to fill needs for other people. as opposed to ourselves. And a lot of times we can ascribe our personal value to our utility for other people, for other people's consumption. But when you're constantly doing that and you're constantly pouring out, you can get empty. Mm-hmm. And in this, you know, in this time that we're living in now, I mean, there's mental health, you know, talk about mental health and things like that. But those have, for the longest time, been spaces that, you know, that women have been encouraged to navigate in. And there's, you know, there's support, you know, for them to move into those spaces. And it's not something that men have traditionally done for themselves, much less for other men. But we as men are just as valuable as the people that we have been given the charge to protect. And if we can't protect our own energy, and if we can't protect our own peace of mind and our own mental state, then we're ultimately not going to be of any good to the other people that mm-hmm. we are given the, you know, given that charge and that responsibility, and that we take the responsibility of to protect. So pour into yourself, black man. Prioritize yourself, black man. And surround yourself with people who are just as willing to pour into you as they are to receive from you. Because that's balance. Everything that's in the cup belongs to you. And everything that overflows is for everybody else. Stop pouring into a cup with holes.
So, ladies, your response.
I agree. I absolutely agree. It is so important for an individual to make sure that they, damn, I just had this talk with somebody last night, that you know exactly who you are and you value yourself just as much as you can value something outside of you. The care and the attentiveness that you give to someone else, what's wrong with you doing that for yourself? So I agree with this, what Wendell is saying, everything, 100%. You have to do that, because if not, there will be nothing left of you. And you will find yourself to the point where you'll be weakened and angry, resentful, all of that. And you're not loving on yourself. You're not loving on yourself. You can't love on somebody else or even allow them to love on you, because you don't know who you are. So I agree.
You know, another thought just came to me. Go ahead.
I agree with Wendell as well.
Yeah, I'll just say this right quick, because the thought just came to me. Y'all remember there's a couple of songs out. Y'all know the John Legend song, you know, All of Me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the Anthony Hamilton song, you know, Giving You the Best of Me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for many men, obviously not all men, but for many men, they're not able to give all, you know, I can't give you all of me, or I can't give you the best of me, but because I'm doing so much that all I can give you is what's left of me. So I'm not giving you the best of me, I'm giving you what's left of me. I'm not giving you, I can't give you all of me. I can just give you all that's left of me.
Yeah.
Because I have been giving to myself.
Right.
I'm constantly, you know, giving out, getting beat up on here, fighting this battle there, you know, engaged in battle on so many fronts. And you know, just like a you know, just like a sculptor chipping away at a piece of granite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eventually what's you know, the masterpiece that's in the granite is going to come out, but you know, it's not. The masterpiece is only a fraction of what was there in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting what's left of me. What's left of me is strong, but it's not the totality of what was there before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I stress this to people. For one, it's like the happiness and peace of mind is an internal job. But if you don't take that time and give it to yourself.
Getting sucked in by high interest.
Hello?
No, that was
okay.
Somebody in the background.
Oh, okay. There'll be nothing left to give. You're just going to continue to deplete your stock in yourself, and there'll be nothing left, and it isn't fair to you, and it isn't fair to your potential partner, that perfect person for you. They may be patient with you, but you're not going to be able to give them what they deserve as well if you're not giving to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is very true. All right, so we're going to bring in, he raised his hand again, so I guess he wanted to add something to the discussion. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to throw something in the mix. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we
yeah.
hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know how. I don't want to talk about religion or anything because I don't get down that way. But I do want to say that when I lived on this planet, there was a time when I walked around this earth, and I only occupied a small fraction of this earth, you know what I'm saying? And it was just me. It was just me. I didn't know anything about nothing else, you know what I mean? I didn't have anything else other than me inside. But one day when I didn't even know what was going on, I just knew that there was something that happened. And I guarantee you that if you know who you are in this world, on this planet, not just you, but who's inside of you, who makes themselves a reality for you to live in, then you understand that when that happens, your past, when you lived in the world without this revelation of who you are, everything in the past is going to be made very good for your future so that you have credentials and abilities to make a difference in this world right where it counts. So your past is going to be very valuable for your future concerning other people who are going to be listening to you who have experience being there before. You've been there, done that. So this is the way it works, man. The past becomes very good for the future when you become aware of who you are and what you were doing that was against the truth about who you are now. So when you have something like this, you have something to share with someone, and it's called experience. And experience goes a long ways in this world. Have you noticed that yesterday, today, and forever is right now? I mean, you make a difference right now, and right now, the children that we have are the future. Can I just say this real quick? I talked to a gentleman. You probably are familiar with this man. His name is Geronimo Pratt. Are you familiar with Geronimo Pratt? He was an activist back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know, but listen. Yeah, but hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
So anyway, Geronimo, we were walking one day. We were talking about things about his life,
when he was a kid. Hold on. I'm going to stop you right there. Right. We're not hijacking the conversation into that. We're going to stick to what we're doing now. And if it's not relevant to what we're talking about, you know, I'm going to put you back
relevant.
In the queue. Because, no, it's not. You're kind of off from where we started
from.
Okay. And I understand what you want to get
your
point across. But we want to stick to... No, we want to get to the main topic. All right. So...
So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to put you back in the queue, right? We're going to move on to the next segment. And then if you have something that's relevant to what we're talking about, not just you know, going around, you know, because you started making your point and then you kind of went, you know, over to a different side of what we're not talking about. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you back in the queue, all right? And we're going to move on to the next segment, and we're going to get ready to close out. So we appreciate your opinion. All right, so any closing remarks on this particular topic? Ladies.
Like I always say, be kind to yourself and love on yourself. Know exactly who you are. And that goes for everybody, not just the men. It goes for women, too. A lot of us just give and give and give and give because we are charged to care for one another, and that is what we live up to, but we forget to give to ourselves, pamper ourselves. Self-love goes way beyond physical. It is a mental part of, I lost my thought, just tend to yourself. It's okay to fall back from humanity sometimes and take that time for yourself to get to know who you are. I was saying to a person last night, God will put us in solitude sometimes so we can find out who we are. We can get to know our own soul. In doing that, you have to tend to yourself. And that's all I've got to say about that right there.
All right. So, Adriana, Lisa, anybody else have anything else? Okay. So we're going to close that out. We're going to go to this other one because I stuck this in the chat, and I wanted to get you ladies' opinion on this. And, you know, I need you, Wendell, to sit co-chair on me next to me on this. So let's try this out. This is the one we put in by Rick Sounds 99. And it's called We Don't Care. All right? All right, y'all ready? To the clip, ladies, your opinions, please.
Ooh, child. there are a lot of men out there that have the same, that feel that way. But there is such a large choice for these men to go through with women, that a lot of them tend to gravitate to the outward appearance of that woman, and they make the choice, okay, I'm gonna put it out there like this. I'm one of those women. I'm natural, all natural. I don't do the makeup unless I'm going to a special event or something. I don't put all kinds of chemicals and stuff in my hair. I have locks, very long locks. I've been growing them for a long time. I might throw some Vaseline on or some clear lip gloss just to keep my lips from getting chapped. And I'm fine with my natural beauty. I am comfortable in my skin. But a lot of times women such as myself are overlooked for the woman that has all of that extra stuff on, the weave, the makeup, the eyelashes. And I am a plump woman. I'm not a small girl. I don't have that hourglass figure. I'm fine with it. I earned this, okay? I've had children. I call them my war wounds, so I earned these. I wear it like a badge of honor. But a lot of men tend to gravitate towards a certain physical look, a certain woman that looks, she doesn't have her naturalness out there. And a woman like me, and a lot of those women, they don't know how to tend to men. But those men will take them home anyway, and they won't get that safe space, that place where they can come and be comfortable in a place of trust and lay his head and his burdens down on her breast. A lot of these women are very, very superficial, and they keep up a certain appearance, and these men are running towards that until they get tired of being treated a certain way and not getting what they want. And then they come to the women like me that do tend to them. I'm very, very attentive from head to toe, okay? I feed you. I not only feed you physically, put food in your belly, but I feed your soul and your mind as well. I'm a comfort zone. But a lot of men don't gravitate toward that until they just get sick and tired of not being treated like a man is supposed to be treated. I'm the one that when you come home, I want to know about your day while I'm working on giving you a happy ending, wink, wink. As opposed to the women, when they come through the door, I need to go do this. I need to go do that. You know what I mean? They don't allow the man to wind down. So I get what he's saying. There are men out there like that that don't give a shit about all of that superficial stuff, but they don't gravitate toward that, like I said, until they run through a certain amount of women that look a certain way.
Okay. All right. Lisa.
Yeah. For me, it's always been, I have never been a single digit size. I never intend to be. So being a plus size girl, you get passed over for the arm candy. And then when the arm candy don't give them what they want, then they want to creep in the middle of the night. That's the booty call Negroes that be ringing your phone. So there are a set of men that are past all that are more mature, that have made choices in their lives to see what your mind does and what your heart does and not be concerned with what casing it's all carried in. There are a few, but for the most part, being a plus size girl, I've had guys to tell me, you know what, I really like your personality and you got a pretty face, but you ain't, you too heavy for me.
Wow.
You know, and then they come, it's like I wrote a piece not long ago, and I said most people don't fall in love with the hospital that heals them. They want to come to you for that healing, but then they go back out in the world to that candy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that candy breaks them down again, they want to try and knock on your door again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right, so I'm going to go to Edwina. Edwina, your opinion.
Well, I think that ultimately we live in a day and age nowadays where everything is so microwave and everyone thinks that they are entitled to everything. But the truth of the matter is everything ain't for everybody. And what is meant for you is meant for you. We spend so much time getting lost in those things that we want, that we do not need. I mean, look at us. As a country, we are fat and sick off of the sweetest thing there is. We love us something sweet. You know what I mean? We don't want that bitter. We don't want that extra. We don't want any of the stuff that is difficult. We want those things that come easy, those tangible comforts, and we seek them in those things that we see. We can say that about men, but men can say the same thing, especially short guys. Short guys are told right to their face, like, you're too little. And I'm like, okay, you can't improve your stature. This man got to get all the money in the world, but he can't get any taller. You're making him feel small. Or discount him as a person for that reason. You'll discount another dude because he's in another space in his life, or this one got this. Or we all have things that we call standards or boundaries that can be turned around from someone who is on the outside of those things and look at them as being something that is against them when it's not. You know what I mean? But the things that were meant for us will give us, love us, the right ways. The things that we want, that don't, we will spend the rest of our time with them fighting for them. So the person that passed you over, let them go. They were not meant for you. You know what I mean? Because there is a such thing as someone else's good thing. You know what I mean? And sometimes you'll allow the wrong person to play around with your soulmate's good thing for too long, and you'll feel depleted at that point. But that's about your own personal boundaries as well, you know? Letting people waste your time for too long.
All right, that's what's up. Okay, so I believe Jared came in the room. Jared, are you here?
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing? What's going on with you, Sunday Otis?
Jared.
Chilling. I was hoping you'd hear the whole conversation that we was having.
The flow is almost self-explanatory. What are y'all doing? Y'all diving into self? What's going on in here?
No, well, actually, I'm actually goofing around to the fellas because I played the clip. So I'm gonna start with the eloquent one, Wendell. Wendell, so what do you think of the clip? Is that accurate for you? You know, because we have to do some things for that. Is it accurate for you?
I think that everyone who is traversing the path of life is going to gain perspective as they continue to live. And as you gain that life experience, then you improve and increase your relationship intelligence, and you're able to more clearly see and understand what is valuable.
Right.
And there comes a point in every man's life where he wants to know that he can come home to a safe place and a soft place, an oasis in the desert, you know, that he can find a safe harbor in the tumultuous seas of life. And to know that when he weighs his anchor, you know, that when he throws his anchor, that it's going to hold and catch on to something that can actually secure him. And in our younger years, it's very easy to be enticed with the superficial. And that's not just for men, it's for women as well. It's a human thing. It's like when you're raising children think that they know everything, and they don't know anything. but based on their limited experience and their limited worldview, all they can see is what's in front of their eyes. They have no perspective. And so what this man is saying is that as men gain perspective, we see the how fleeting the superficial is. And then you want to get to something that is substance, that has more substance. Children will eat dessert for dinner and go to bed with a stomachache. But a grown man will sit down and eat the meal, because the meal is what sustains him and what holds him. And as we gain perspective in life, the woman that we choose and the woman that we recognize the value in is, and that we recognize as being the life-sustaining meal, she's the one that we want. She's the one that we choose. And the superficial things, like, you know, are the peas touching the mashed potatoes, you know, or is everything running together? None of that type of stuff becomes less and less important, because we're trying to nourish our souls and not just our eyes. So as your appetite and your palate becomes mature, then you find yourself less inclined to dine on things that will not satiate you.
All right, so Joe.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Here we go. Okay.
So what's your opinion?
Yeah. Oh, man. I was thinking where the brother was coming from, man. I like how he put everything, man. You know, and what Brother Wendell was just saying, man, come on, man. You just hit the nail on the head right there. You know, you progress through life, you know. What I liked is at 20, you know, I won't give a fuck about right now. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you know, like you say, you develop those relationships, you know, you grow into them. And, you know, you grow into, you know, how you deal with, interact with women, you know what I'm saying? You know, you have to listen to what they say. I mean, like, listen to what they say. You know, and a lot of them, you know, they want the same thing we do. You know, all that glamour and glitz and all that's like, you know, that's the peacock on the feathers and shit like that. But, you know, once you settle down and, you know, come to realize you want more than that. You know, like you say, you want to be able to come home from a hard day and kind of like, you know, just let go and relax and be you. You know, not that persona you carry out the street, because some people, you know, they lead double mental lives, you know. This way here and this way there, you know what I'm saying? Nobody's, like, consistent. You got to be consistent with yourself. And like I say, you know, you grow out of those things, but, you know, hey, I still like to flash every now and then, you know? You know, make an analogy with food and all that and substance. And yeah, I like a little spice in my life, but, you know, I don't want it hot every day. Sometimes I make it mild. Yeah, ooh, baby, I like it raw. Anyway, that's
but it is about growth, like Joe said. It's about growth, because there are 25-year-old men who know what they want and who have a mature mind, and then there are 85-year-old men who are still acting like they don't know what they want. So it's about the choice to grow up and grow into being that man or being that woman who's looking to satisfy your soul and not just the eye candy.
Mm. Yeah, I like that.
Matter of fact.
Yeah.
I mean,
everything rises and falls on choice. And when it's like when you know better, you're supposed to do better. But even though you know, sometimes people know that they're supposed to do better, choose not to.
Right.
And so it's your choices that determine your status. Like, you know, when, as a boy matures, He matures not simply because he gets older. He matures because the choices that he makes are reflective of his potential and
Absolutely.
The future that he wants to have for himself. But just because you have the choice, there's a difference between having the choice and making the choice.
Right.
Every choices that you make determine who and what you are. So.
Okay, hold on. We just had somebody come in. Hold on. Let me check this out real quick. Area code 504. Who master speaking? Area code 504.
Yo.
I figured. What up? Prince Drippy. Nario was in the building.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, it's my favorite giant. My favorite giant.
Denario.
Hey.
Good evening.
Matter of fact, but let me loop back before we get into the whole thing with Denario. Let me go. Jared, did you have a chance to watch the clip?
Yeah, man, I did. About the guy telling the ladies that it doesn't matter, all these different things.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
So what's your opinion?
We when I was coming up, you didn't hear guys talk that way. I think that clip was good just so a guy can see another guy talk that way. We may talk that way because we're poets, but outside of us, guys might not talk that way. The sincerity of what he was talking about was ringing true too. But one thing that it may sound counterproductive, I think some of those things that when the woman has insecurity, it just has to be that way. The Rubik's Cube is how do we fortify that soft spot right there? It's like a part of the riddle. Like even when a woman gets to the point where she's not feeling like having sex, like at the rate that she was, we may have to go with a new approach. Our lady may have just changed right in front of our eyes. Sometimes it may go from this, when you actually rub a woman's back, that it just be left at that. You know, let her go ahead and make the move and be reciprocal off of what you're doing. And, you know, just sometimes you just have to hope and pray. Sometimes you have to sit down and chit-chat about the things that are not to your liking. It's all right for things not to be to your liking. Not talking about them is the real problem.
Yeah, you got a point. That's a major point. And I think with anything else, a lot of times I think when – like we were talking about, we live in a thing where it's superficial, where we're allowed to think that these are the things that are being paraded amongst us. And because the majority of us are poets, empaths, and many other different things, we have a tendency to see things because we're able to you know, clear our minds in order to see things as they truly are, because it shows up in our writings and things of that sort. And it shows up in who we are as a people, because our imagination is probably one of our greatest strengths in our ability to tie all of these things and be able to speak and express and to write those things out. So
yes, sir.
When we can reduce the fluff of what we see in social media down to what is it really about? Can we really have these conversations? Like a lot of times it's like men aren't really coached to really deal with their emotions because of how their nature nurture, unless there was someone who decided to say, okay, this is how you express yourself. And a lot of times because of how certain things are made for us to be more Neanderthalish, if you will, and not deal with our emotions and try to hide everything instead of actually being fair and equitable. And in certain cases, when we tell women exactly how we feel, we might be considered weak or a simp or something else because we're actually saying exactly how we feel.
What
we feel. I've been in situations where I've said, I'm like, yo, this is what, and they say, yo, you really need to get a backbone, you need to get a spine, you need to do this. I said, no, I'm telling you exactly what's bothering me. this is what's bothering, this is the issue, because open air expression doesn't work. And a lot of times when, like the clip, the brother's like saying, we don't care. We only care about what is it, what is the factor of us really being, are you going to be there? Are you going to support? Are you going to be close? You know, putting your leg on somebody, being close, he's talking about intimacy. That was his way of saying it. Are you going to be intimate with us in a way that doesn't necessarily require us to have sex, but are you going to rub my head? Are you going to console me? You know, I don't want to have to fight a war. Like Wendell said, I don't want to have to fight a war outside. I want to come home and have peace. Are you my place of peace? You know, and a lot of times people forget that you can create heaven or hell by your judgment and what you decide to do with a person, you know, and how you decide to interact with that person. House can be a virtual heaven because a person who says, yo, what is it that makes you want to be with this person? I feel safe. Men need to feel safe too. Men need to feel comfortable. Men need to feel, you know, able to express themselves and not feel like everything that's going to happen is I'm going to get a stab, everything else. Like, you know, I told everything earlier. I said, you know, for lack of expression, this woman was so mad at me, she was willing to stab me. But it was all of her past trauma and everything else. And here I am, innocent of all this. No, I won't even say innocent. That's the wrong term. Me unknowingly not understanding the amount of triggers that a person might be in possession of because it was nothing that was ever talked about. And so me trying to figure out, like, you know, why I had this attraction to these type of women is because of how my mother was and how my father dealt with my mother in a particular way. He never talked emotions. Now, it's super scary now because my father tells me everything. I get weirded out because the man be, like, telling me stuff, and I just like, yo, this is some wild shit, Pop. You know, but he said,
is that something you can say?
yeah, you know, you're like, yo, this is some wild shit. Like, you know, like, you know, he was really on me the other day. He was like, man, when I call you, you make sure you call me back. I've been waiting for you to. I was like, what? What the hell? I'm like, what the hell is going on, right? But
I got a point.
It's a way to express emotions, but at the same time, it's like, you know, like I have problems with his wife because he doesn't exactly tell her what to tell her, you know. So it's like, so I'd be like, listen, you gonna keep poking the bear, you gonna get, I'm gonna bite you, right? People, that's how they move and they operate because that's how the things are. And it's like, you try to examine things of what happens when you tell somebody, like, yo, you don't really need all that much. You just need to be connected. Like, if you make me laugh, shit. I'm gonna tell you right now. If you make me laugh, that's getting to the inside of me. If I giggle, if you make me giggle, and I fucking giggle as a man, I'm saying it out loud. I fucking giggle. I giggle my ass off. I giggle my ass off. I am a giggler. I will giggle. I will guffaw. I will laugh. You know, I will. You know, if you make me do that, like I think you're like the best thing since sliced bread because. Sometimes women don't be trying to be funny. They just be on. But I just be like, I'm like, yo, why are you so fucking serious? Like, yo, my ex was serious all the goddamn time. I'm like, yo, you were too fucking serious. You gonna die, man. You gotta laugh and shit. You gotta be funny. Like, let some stuff go. You know, it's like
you're like Eddie Murphy.
I'm just saying, seriously. No, but some people
you're gonna
be
die
so constipated with joy. I'm just saying, like, they be constipated with joy. Like, the one thing I think
hey,
the other brother didn't talk about,
lady man.
Huh?
We had to train each other, man, because, you know, I came into it with I'm a little bit older than my old lady is. So I came into it with some prior knowledge on how things can go bad because, you know, when you first get with somebody, you're in the, kind of like the fantasy that, like, things should be like this and then things would be like that and then we're going to add this over here. Oh, got to get one of these over here. And you find out that, you know, sometimes people have their own agendas going. What I noticed from my old lady, man, she took the time to go ahead and invest in me. Through all the craziness and all the rest of that. And sometimes, you know, it's a gamble because you can invest in something that ain't going to go nowhere. And then you can be, like, stuck with a bad investment. But she invested in me, man. I'm glad she did. So it did wonders for me. It did wonders for me. I'm probably still alive because of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that leads me to this. That leads me to this. So that's a perfect way to move into the segment. Then we got to go because it's a school night, the state test tomorrow. There's a whole bunch of stuff. And it's a whole bunch of anything. And he just came in the room and ran out because, you know, I just basically ran him out because I ate some Chinese food earlier. And I don't think it worked out for me. But that's another story. how important, right? Seriously, why are you laughing? I'm dead serious. How important is it to pour in to your mate? How important is it to pour into your mate? And we can't be at this all night, so I mean, I'm going to need y'all to tailor y'all responses. I'm going to go all the way through from top to bottom. You know, how is it how is it so important to pour into your mate? And what is it that you do to pour into your mate? Because, you know, we got to give people the sauce. You know, it's not anybody's an expert. We're just saying these are opinions. It's a parable. Do what you will with the information. Don't come to us talking about I tried this shit, it didn't work. I'm going to give you the middle finger, but like, I ain't tell you to do that. Anyway, how important is it for you to pour into your mate? And what do you do to pour into your mate, your potential partner, whatever pronouns you're particularly using, it all applies. So we're going to start at the top. I'm going to go from you, Danielle, and we're going to try to limit this because we got to go. So, Danielle, you first.
It is essential. It is so important to pour into your mate. It's like that's your partner. You want your business to keep running. You got to have a healthy relationship, and that keeps it very healthy. It keeps them positive and wanting to pour back into you and to work through it. And I'm going to leave it at that. It's just it's essential. It's necessary.
Okay. And what is it that you do? That's the second part of the question.
Man, I'm telling you, I do it all. I am that safe space. Like I said, I not only feed his belly, I feed his soul and his mind. I have that level where you can come home and you can unwind because I allow you to, and then you can release to me everything that you want to take off of you from the day. You want to just let that day go. I'm here. Lay your head on my breast and release it. I do not weaponize. I don't throw it back in your face. It stays where you lay it, and that's it. And it's not brought up again. You eat good. You get good sex, too, and conversation. So, well, I'll leave you alone to play your video game, too.
Ooh, peace. All right. So we're going to go for you. Go to Lisa Lips. Lisa Lips, how important is it, and what do you do?
Essential to pour into your mate. There's no way for you to grow as a couple if you don't pour into each other, because somebody's going to be depleted eventually. So it's essential that you pour into each other. And for me, the way that I pour into my mate, I know his history. Yeah, that's the advantage that I have now in the situation that I'm in, because I've known him for 30 plus years, but I know that he has issues with being believed, being trusted. And so I always open the door for him to say to me, you know, what he's actually feeling and how he sees things. Because a lot of times when you've been damaged in that way, you see things in a different light. So something that's not meant to be strongly worded or something that's not meant to be an attack may be seen in that way. So I've opened the door for him to be able to say to me, the way you said that to me sounded like this, and then we can talk about it so that he doesn't feel insecure, because his insecurities will cause him to close away. And for me, he knows that I've been through a lot of bad relationships. So when I'm in that funk, when I'm having those days, he's well aware that this isn't about him, that it's about something that I've gone through before, and that he needs to be able to stand strong and let me get through it.
Cool. All right, so now we're going to go from you to the eloquent one, Wendell, Brother Wendell. How essential is it for you to pour into your mate, and what are the things that you do?
Yeah, the word of the night is essential. It's like roots to the trees, like air to the breeze, like heat to the flame, like rules to the game. it's all intertwined. It all belongs together. You can't, one cannot function. The essence of one being. So, it's like saying, there's a, my grandfather once said that an empty wagon makes a lot of noise. And but a full, but a loaded wagon is silent. So you load up your partner with what they need, so that they don't have to yell for it, that they don't have to make noise for it.
Mm-hmm.
Give them what they need, so that they don't have to ask for it. Serve them in such a way that their needs, that they cry aloud for without words, have to go unspoken. And how I do that is I hold space. I provide a place of quiet in a world of thunder for my partner. When she needs to a place to unload and to scream, I'm the pillow she can scream into. I'm here to help her to unburden her mind, so that she can have the peace that she needs, and then she's able to pour that back into me. So it's like yin and yang, the eternal dance between the two koi fish in the spirit oasis at the North Pole.
The North Pole.
The eternal dance.
Avatar.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a second.
Avatar. Yeah.
Dude, just not the poem, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matter of fact, now go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They just, in order to have balance, you have to create balance in order to have balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
very
I
true.
Give to her, she gives to me, and it becomes a competition on who can give more. How can I serve you? And as I serve you, you serve me, and the dance continues.
Oh shit! All right. Now we're going to go to Jared, Jared King. How essential is it for you to pour into your mate, and what is it that you do?
Man, that's that emotional bank account right there. Always drop something in it. You know, I get my wife teddy bears and stuff like that while I'm out. And, you know, you can even go cheap as long as if the thought process is, it has to be lined up. You don't want to get something that's rinky-dink and it don't go with something that she would really want to have. So it's that thought process of it also. When a person sees that you brought them something, what did you bring? Or I might not have any money, but I had just enough money to go ahead and grab her a keychain that had her name on it. There was flashing Jackie in there. It goes a long way, you know. Different canes. I would go ahead and grab a cane or something like that for my wife. So we got like a exotic cane collection around here because when they look real nice, I go ahead and grab one. If we're always putting that person ahead of us, and hopefully it is reciprocal, and that person is always putting us ahead of them, it makes for a good ladder to go ahead and go up. And even though you might not have much, people will look at what you have and they will feel that you have plenty. You have more than what they have even.
Good stuff. All right, so I've been informed by a very very big 10-year-old that he said he'd like to go to bed, and I am taking up the space. And he said I stink too. So,
out of the mouth of Chinese food, he might be right on both accounts.
Listen, brother. I'm sorry, it was the bubbling. So we just gonna do this real quick. Just say, you know, for everything else, and then I gotta get out of here, and then I gotta get out of here. But we're going to go from you. Prince Skippy, Denario, did you have anything you want to add? Good sir.
Accountability, love, pour into. I piggyback off of everybody else.
I'm so, you know, so calm. Just, you know, sharp tight to the point. I like it. I like it. Okay.
Hey, man, I'm trying to be OG in this game, bro.
Yo, I can't wait to see you singing ass next week. I swear. Adriana, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I really just like it most of what everyone said. It's like you really, it is essential to pour into the person that you are in love with, but it's also essential to tune into them also, to get to know how they evolve and how they need to be poured into, because that can change at different points as well. And I think that that's mostly comes from being open and communicative and learning how to talk to people, because I think too much of what we need goes unsaid just under the premise that we think we can't talk about it. But once those doors open, and you, I feel like especially as a woman, when you are in love and you're tuned into the person that you're with, you walk, talk, and think with that person kind of on your mind and is a part of the way you operate. So you're going to think about them. You're going to do things. You're going to want to do things that make them smile, or you're going to want to drape yourself over their back at the end of the night, or, you know, do different things that's going to bring them comfort and peace, you know. That's about all I have to add to it. It's been great talking to you guys.
That sounds good. No, dude, that sounds great. Joe.
Yes, it's vital to support to your mate, man. It's vital. It's vital to your mate as well as yourself, man. You know, just, you know, being able to share your feelings is vital to human nature and shit, you know. Nobody wants to be sitting there talking to a wall, you know. You want to pour into your mate. And, you know, the way I do that is I talk to her. Simple as that. You know, if something on my mind, I'm going to let it out. I've sheltered feelings before, you know, with a bad result. So, yeah, I've learned, you know, yeah, pour into somebody. Let somebody know what's up. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I do, you know. Yeah, if it's on my mind, I'm going to speak on that. I'm just going to look at you and think. I'm going to express it. And that whole, and then, you know, get some feedback. Well, I ain't got to keep carrying that one thought all around, wondering how to put it out there. You just put it out there. They should get back. So, yeah, you just got to pour into your mate. You know, you got to, you know, just talk. Don't think about it. Talk. Talk to her like you're talking to yourself. Talk. That's my take on it.
Dope. Y'all have said some amazing and incredible things, and good ideas to start from with anything else. And so I'll say that by saying, like, you know, with everybody power, you know, accountability, all everything that everybody has said has been absolutely true. I mean, for me, my pour in is also not just that. It's being able to hear. I want to hear what's in your heart. I want to hear it. I want to know what's there. You know, if you are in a dark place, I'm going to come get you. I'm just going to come. It doesn't matter where you think you are. I'm going to come. I'm going to, you know, strike a match, light a candle, and walk to wherever you are and walk you out of that back into the light. Because that's what a good pouring into somebody is. And in return, like if you can make me feel everything that you are, then I am indebted. Like, if I don't have to, if you can feel my wavelength.
I believe children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. I love it.
All right, I'm going to trip somebody. You're going to get tripped. Anyway, we'll see you. I'm tripping you. It's not even a question at this point. It's just going to happen. But
I was thinking the Leon Timbo song more.
Yeah, you wild. But that being said, like to me, like reciprocation, like Wendell said, the koi fish avatar. It's one of those things that, you know, the like, you know, to me, being at peace, you know, took me a long time to learn, and I'm still learning, that it's okay to want love and to deserve love as much as you give love. You know, as long as you're giving more than you're taking, you should be fine. And so my pouring will always be that, you know. And sometimes I think that in my, you know, it can be used against me in many different ways. I can be leveraged because of me loving, you know, that's how I ended up getting married. I got leveraged. I got leveraged, right? Because somebody had something that I love so much dearly, and they leveraged me. And they said, this is what it was. And so now I'm learning not to care so much. And if it feels like a certain way, then I won't, you know, I can completely withdraw in the best way possible and won't have anything else to say. Like, there's certain people that are going to say, like, they'll be like, okay, you just don't talk or fuck with this person. I'll be like, yeah. And they'll be like, yo, most unreasonable. I'll be like, I am unreasonable. I knew what it took to go over there. Like, this is what happened on my way to doing this, and this is what the person did in response. And so, like, there's nothing they could ever request from me, because I'm not ever going to risk those parts or portions of me ever again in life, you know. And so some people say it's a bad way to be, but I'm like, if somebody, like, literally threw you on a cactus, you're going to be so forgiving when you get above the cactus? Are you going to be like, oh, fuck you and this cactus, I ain't never come over here again? I said, that's me. But the pouring, with anything else, like, if I'm not willing to listen, if I'm not willing to take action with my words, you should be able to feel everything that I am as soon as you hear what I have to say or know what I'm going to do or know how I'm going to do it. But with that, I digress. I want to thank everybody for coming out to War Council. It's been a dynamic show. Great conversations. I look forward to the next one. The mixed bag worked out. I want to thank everybody for coming out. Thank you, La Perla Negra Danielle. Thank you, Lisa Lips. Thank you, the eloquent one, Wendell, Mr. Berry. Thank you, Jared, for stopping by on a non-poetry night and actually contributing to the conversation, which is really fucking dope. I appreciate that so much. Thank you, Denario. I look forward to seeing you next week. Drip Fest. Yeah, don't forget, Drip Fest next week, Albany, New York.
Yes,
yeah. April 29th. We're going to be out here showing our total colons. Our colon is going to be out there. You're going to see the whole colon. We're going to be running around. It's going to be fun. And that being said, I also like to thank Selena. I also like to thank Joe, the Verbal Mind Dancer. Welcome back, sir. We missed you. We missed you a lot. And congratulations on your grandson. And for that being said, this podcast will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Thank you, everybody, for coming. This has been Epiphany Radio Universal Events World Council, Mixed Bag, a For Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you be raw? And don't forget, every night of the week here on the Epiphany Radio Universe, we got something for you at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 p.m. for the West Coast. That being said, this podcast will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3. Take care.
Peace,
guys. Thank you. We appreciate this one. 2, 1.